From AmeriVet Securities, a service-disabled, veteran-owned broker-dealer in New York City, we bring you Compass Check, a podcast created by veterans for veterans. The military uses a compass to navigate air, land, and sea. Now, Compass Check is here to help you navigate your transition into the corporate workforce. Our goal is to reach military veterans and members of the veteran community, empower and connect them with a multitude of resources that will ultimately set them up for success after leaving the military. I'm your host, Army veteran James Fitzgerald. Let's get moving. Headstrong was founded in 2012 and is one of the nation's leading mental health care providers for military veterans and their families. Developing and employing a first-of-its-kind comprehensive treatment program for veterans to address conditions like post-traumatic stress disorder, anxiety, depression, anger management, and more. Each treatment plan is individually tailored and not time-limited to ensure no mind is left behind. Headstrong's core mission is to heal the hidden wounds of war by providing confidential, barrier-free, and stigma-free mental health treatment at no expense. Headstrong provides cost-free support to active duty service members, members of the National Guard and Reserves, veterans, and their families. Individuals are eligible regardless of service era, discharge status, or combat exposure. My guest today is Headstrong Chief Executive Officer Jim McDonough. Here's our conversation. Another day, another journey. Another wonderful organization to provide you with direction as you're transitioning out of the military and into the corporate workforce. I have today Headstrong CEO Jim McDonough. It's an absolute pleasure to have you along with us during this leg of the race and to give us a little bit of the insight into what Headstrong is providing to the military veteran community and our families. So welcome.
Well, thank you, James, for having me. And on this Flag Day and Army birthday, my best to you. And just want to say thanks for including me in this.
I mean, it's go Army all day long, but Flag Day for me is very special. One of my favorite things is my sock accessories. I have these great flag socks. I'm not going to embarrass myself and showcase them to the viewing audience, but just know that I am fully in the spirit, and I'm also so just full of joy and excitement to be able to reconnect with you. The last time that me and you were together was 2019. We were in different positions, still supporting the military veteran community and everything inside of that. You were a much bigger fish in the pond running the New York State Division of Veteran Services. You've done that twice. I don't know if they give out steak knives, if you do it like three times, but there's a myriad of other things in your background that we're going to touch on later. But 2019, me and you were meeting and it was such a different world, but here we are now. And this is where I'd like us to pick up the conversation. You're the CEO of Headstrong, which is providing a vital resource to just the general population, mental health. I'm going to kick it to you. Give us the description of Headstrong. Give us the backstory of how the organization was created and bring us up to speed on where you are now in 2022.
Yeah, very good. Thanks, James. I never got those steak knives, but I'll have to go back and see if I can pick up a set of those. Maybe there's a third tour. So yeah, look, Headstrong is a very special place. You know, it's 10 years old this year. And so for your listening and viewing an audience, I'd like everyone to just take a step back to a decade ago when Headstrong was first formed in 2012, when a returning United States Marine recognized that many more of his Marines were in fact dying by suicide than he had lost in combat. And he'd been some tough places. And so when you really think back 10 years ago, and you think about that moment in time when many people were going to and coming back from war, you You recognize that the origin story of Headstrong and the principles associated with it are really near and dear to people like you and me, people who served. The organization was founded by an individual who served, along with a couple of more impactful Americans who just believe in what this is all about. But as you fast forward from that 10 years ago, and you recognize what we've been up to, is we've been delivering mental health treatment for the nation's military-connected members and their families at scale across the country. We like to think of ourselves, James, today as a practice of choice. And I think that's important to recognize. You know, we are not the Department of Veterans Affairs. We are a community-based nonprofit organization that employs hundreds of some of the best trauma-informed clinicians anywhere in the country who specialize in the treatment of trauma amongst our population. And that population, I think it's important to recognize that what we're really about is we treat individuals actively serving in our armed forces. We treat veterans of all eras. We treat members of the National Guard and reserves. And we treat the connected family members and people close to those people across our practice today. We really have grown in the last 10 years, James, from the origin story in New York City.
What I want to focus on is the cost. Many of the veterans that I've encountered, one of the initial obstacles to receiving the adequate mental health care in their eyes, or even in the eyes of a lot of our general public, is the cost. I can't afford it. Or it may be an indirect cost. I don't have the ability to take time off from work to commute to an office in order to meet and then go back. I just can't make it happen. There are so many obstacles that are in play, but Headstrong does do a fantastic job of removing at least a little bit of that burden to provide an avenue of approach to something that is extremely, extremely necessary, even more so after a global pandemic.
Yeah, I mean, many words could be used to describe, I think, the secret sauce to Headstrong, but you mentioned the word obstacle, and I'll use the word barriers to care, because they're not singular. There are many, cost being one driver. Stigma, perhaps, James, being the largest barrier of all. But I'd like everyone to understand that if you go back 10 years, the principles associated with founding Headstrong were to deliver mental health treatment practice, evidence-based treatment, with no barriers to access and to care. And what we pride ourselves on is delivering treatment at scale for trauma that is cost-free, bureaucracy-free, stigma-free, and confidential for those who avail themselves of our wonderful therapists. And those principles go all the way back to 10 years ago, and they are as much the principles associated with Headstrong today as they were then. And I really do believe in them. I when you really do understand the problem in accessing high quality mental health care, you know, the typical story is one of barriers, cost, stigma, bureaucracy. And Headstrong prides itself on keeping true to the model that was associated with its founding in 2012. Those are really important, not only factors for treating people right, but I'd also say they're differentiators, James, from a lot of other things in the mental health treatment space.
If I forget, please remind me that I want to dive deeper into a discussion about stigma and how that can impact the delivery of mental health services and create that barrier to care between the provider and that veteran family that may need this service immediately. I want to present a little bit of my sword, crack the door open. I've thankfully been a participant of services from Headstrong. I live here in New York, so it was something that was geographically convenient for me to take part in, but there are several other locations around the country. Mm-hmm. I'll let you touch on that, but the real magic for me was not having a real model to go in there and say, oh, this is what I expect, this is what I'd like to receive from my mental health care, it took me quite a while to, for lack of a better term, get comfortable. Yeah. I needed the right voice in this room as I'm divulging things that maybe I haven't told anyone else in the world, maybe things that I'm trying to convince myself of or trying to talk myself out of. And this person is in this position to validate, to critique, to modify. And I'm so grateful that I had that opportunity to cost-free check out various voices to find out which one resonated with me. And when that happened, that is when I truly felt not only was the organization out for my benefit, but I was able to meet someone that connected with me in the way that I needed in order for me to open up. And I think that's something that it takes each individual their own time frame to figure out. But Headstrong is in that business because we understand it's not a one-size-fit-all type of business that we're in. So I'd like for you, as we continue on, I do want to whet the appetite of all of our listeners and viewers to let them know where they can tap into Headstrong right now, where you locate it. And you've already mentioned the eligibility is all eras, all branches. But, you know, give us a little bit more if there's something to push us forward in where you're at, how to get connected, things of that nature.
Yeah, well, let me begin by saying I'm glad you had that experience with the organization, because I think the pieces of the organization that you're touching upon in terms of your experience with the organization, really a couple of dwell points are around the competency associated with our clinician. A young woman at our gala recently described the task as wanting to be seen and heard. And on the other side of that, by a competent individual. And we typically think about military cultural competency, but as you and I know, competency can come in many forms. I think it's important to recognize that Headstrong goes to great lengths to look like the people we're serving. And so one data point, you know, I've been here, I think I'm actually at my 2-year anniversary as we're having this conversation. But one point of pride for me is when I joined the organization, about 86 to 87% of the organization and their clinicians looked like me. Today, that number is 80% as we attract individuals who identify from a different color, right? We want to look like the people we serve. So when you say, you know, I think what you're getting at is you felt comfortable in the practice because the person you were interacting with went to great lengths to understand you and your service and listen. Military service being but perhaps one piece of your life in this journey, right? So I think when I think about Headstrong, I think about a very inclusive practice.
Absolutely.
And it comes in many shapes and forms. But most importantly, the practice strives to look like the people it treats every day. I think that's important. The second point is, where are we? You know, from its origin story in New York City, we've now grown to be able to treat people, James, in 29 states. And we will be in all 50 states by the end of 2025. That's a big, audacious goal. But we're blessed in this sense, in that if there was a silver lining with the global public health crisis that we all are experiencing still, it's that telemental health came into vogue. It found itself. And we're much more comfortable as a society,
yes,
accessing clinicians over platforms and technology such as this. And it's become very convenient. So much so, James, that between 2 and 3 of every sessions that we deliver every day are delivered through this medium, whereas 1 is delivered in person. That's a huge change. You kick this off talking about how much the world has changed in the last 2 years. One of the things that it's changed for the good is our ability to extend our reach into corners of this country that we weren't extended into. And so telemental health is here to stay. And we are now a hybrid practice, practicing both aspects of mental health treatment in person and virtual. So it's a really dynamic organization in those regards.
There, I'm jumping out of my seat. There were so many points during the last 2.5 years that individuals that were homebound, that had transportation issues, that had mobility issues, that had a variety of reasons that they weren't able to leave their home or go very far. And exactly to your point, it was something that us in the military veteran community have been screaming, yelling, protesting, like just wishing anything that you can think of to get a telehealth system that's reliable, that's effective, that can reach into those dark corners and provide a light. And that is the unfortunate silver lining to the global health crisis that we all share, but it reinforced another medium that we could use to get to those that need that help, that need that support, or maybe just need to hear another voice that is concerned about what's on their mind and what's on their heart.
Yeah, and when when you think about it, James, in two very long yet very short years, the world was tipped on its end in what we were all contending with. And there's been a lot written over the last 2 years about the struggle of the mind associated with the public health crisis that, you know, we all are part of. But you described it very well. It really is an unfortunate silver lining to what the last 2 years have presented us. And when you really take a step back and you think about, you know, how can you extend your reach across this country to that scale? Well, there's been a great deal of innovation with clinician licensure, states recognizing other states' licenses. That's been a huge boon to our sector. It allows our clinicians to practice where they wouldn't necessarily be able to practice because of the restrictions associated with being licensed to practice. But here's the other thing. You know, in many parts of our country, James, bandwidth, rural, and really most importantly, where do we find the best clinicians? They're clustered in our metropolitan areas. That's where they've typically made a living. But by virtue of jumping on a platform, you can be a clinician in Spokane, Washington, and Headstrong, and treating a client across the Puget Sound, because this medium works. The evidence associated with delivering mental health treatment is as efficacious as it is in person as to the value to the client and the experience that client has. The emerging science indicates this works just as well as in-person therapy sessions work. So yeah, it's quite amazing. And I'm glad we grabbed onto it. We called it a pivot, but we actually grabbed onto the tail of this tiger and just embraced it from day one.
It was a word that you had said earlier, vogue, in describing kind of the telehealth trend that has gained so much momentum. I'm going to say the same thing just in a general sense for online mental health connection with clinicians. The technology's been there for decades, but it wasn't until the pandemic happened and it was a necessity that you started seeing ads, organizations, companies popping up specifically with this business model in mind. And it's like, wow, now you've seen the value. But yeah, we've been telling you for many years at Headstrong and many other organizations that this is possible. We can make this work. We have the research. So like, I'm going to open the door for you, but just to pull out your resume just a little bit more, you used to be the managing director of the Institute for Institute for Veterans and Military Families, IVMF, a research powerhouse. So kicking it over to you, what are some of the things that our listening, viewing audience would be surprised to know, something that maybe surprised you, but The mental health area is very broad, but reel us in by bringing this down to earth. Tell us something that can illuminate the world that we're in around services, staying connected together as a community, how that is all coming together and working.
Yeah, a couple of points, and I'm glad we're talking about this because as I think about all this, I, you know, obviously we want to be as successful as we can be in keeping people alive, right? And seeing them advance in their lives. But the sad reality is you can't do that 100% of the time with everyone. And so I think what I'm personally surprised by is, and what the practice does in terms of people's lives, is that most days we do a pretty good job of that, James. We deal with people who are in a point of their lives where the struggle is real. And I think all the things going on in the world, what I find most fascinating every day is the ability to wake up and have the honor of helping people stay alive to the best way we can. And knowing full well, James, that we're not perfect at it. And I mean that with all sincerity. And so for me, when I think about the last 2 years here at Headstrong, we've done wonderful things by and large. But what mystifies me, James, every day is when we find points of failure with people. And there's so much going on in the world. I fail to recognize how we don't do better at that. And the nature of what's involved in unpacking all that, Headstrong's a piece of that. But this is life. You know, just to pull this full circle for a moment, you know, when this pandemic started, I personally found myself in need of a tune-up. And I turned, like a lot of veterans do, to the Department of Veterans Affairs. I turned into the system exactly at the point in time when the system closed down. And so what I'm amazed at is that in this great little organization, we didn't do that. We figured out how to make the pivot to keep people connected to care when a lot of people around us stopped connecting people to care. And I find that troubling, that with the technology and the human capital we have, we all didn't figure that out and we continued to lose people. And so, you know, for me, when you ask what surprises me, I'm just amazed we're not better at this, you know, and for people under our care, the goal is to be the best you can, recognizing, James, at some point, it's not good enough because people really do struggle. And, you know, it kind of pisses me off that the world is as confused by current events as it is when underneath it all, this remains a core problem within our society. And it's not just, you know, our American veteran families and those who serve. It's much more widespread. But what I'm happiest about is doing my part and making sure the organization does its best every day and that it's here every day of our lives to do the best it can every day. So
I promise I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer. I want to go back to what I said I was going to place a pin in, which is the stigma.
Yeah.
Inside the military veteran community and outside, there's immense stigma around seeking help for mental health. There's immense stigma around the type of help that you're seeking. Everything in between, every different stride. One I want to hone in on is just the notion for some that it can't help you. And I've always just leaned back on, imagine what it feels like to talk to someone who, you know, I have this person's full attention. They're listening to the words that are coming out of my mouth. I'm being seen and being heard. It's like, how does that make you feel? It makes me feel great. That is what self-care is. I think there are so many words to describe, you know, taking care of yourself in a holistic fact. Self-care, whatever you need to do to take care of the most important resource that you have, yourself.
Yeah.
I want to pass it back to you because, you know, you had mentioned turning back into the system during the pandemic. But, you know, just you can touch on some of the stigma that comes along or some of the things that have been transformed over time. Is still the same stuff, just different packaging in terms of how people have been pushed away from trying to approach mental health services.
Yeah, I guess I'm a use case for this conversation, like so many others. You know, when I'll try to describe this for everyone in the way I personally feel about it. Like, you know, you spend, no matter how long you serve, the teaching is that you exist for others. It's the servant leadership, whether you're a squad leader, whether you're a, you know, a platoon sergeant, a first sergeant, company command, I don't really care. You, the ethos of military service is that we exist for other people. So I don't think we should be surprised that we put ourselves last in the chow line, so to speak, when it comes to this very point, self-care. You know, we're taught to be there for others when in fact we do a good job of keeping what's impacting us away from others. You know, I saw this as I, you know, rose through the ranks throughout the 26 years, is that, you know, it gets pretty lonely in positions of responsibility, and you're paid to make sure your problems are not anyone else's problems. And what you pack into that is a lot of burying of things, James, and you become afraid to ask for help and open up. And this idea around stigma is really fear for being exposed as being weak. And this idea that to become vulnerable is the first step in, you know, allowing yourself to seek care for yourself. Man, it's that hardest first step that is associated with the great majority of us, because we've spent a lifetime hiding our problems and packing away our own personal journeys because we are here for others. And so the culture of the organization has, while it's done a lot of good work to get people to feel more comfortable with opening up, it still places a priority on servant leadership. And rightfully so. I recognize that rightfully so. But on the other side of that servant leadership and that selflessness is the expense borne by yourself to make sure that you are healthy. Here's the kicker. You have to be healthy to serve other people best. And when you don't think you need to worry about your own health, that you're packing it all into serving others, you're missing the point that to do that best, you yourself have to be healthy. And that health starts with being open to all forms of care, this being the hidden piece, but so importantly, to be right in your mind when you care for other people. Like I guess that's the way I'd say it, James, is like, you know, that's what people have to be reminded of. You're best helping others when you yourself are at your best.
One of the most frequent situations that I see with military families, veterans that I encounter throughout the year, they don't pretend that there isn't a problem. They pretend that they're okay.
Yep.
That is just as bad of a situation that needs to be dealt with as, you know, having a problem that's not being, you know, properly addressed. It's like, yes, if you're pretending to be okay, You're burying it so deep, and eventually, are you going to be able to reach it? I want to mention the research arm that Headstrong has been cultivating with their annual report. I was able to get a copy for my viewing audience. They get to see the amazing illustrations that are throughout this annual report, but it's the information, the content that is riveting. There's so much information inside of this annual report, and I definitely recommend the viewing, listening audience, getheadstrong.org. You'll be able to find a link to the annual report and get all this information. Like, it's so fascinating. But for this conversation, Jim, I wanted to shift it to our last piece. But before I do, is there anything outside of the mental health services that is being done on the ground community-wise? You had mentioned the gala earlier. I didn't get a ticket, but no harm, no foul. Are there any things coming up in 2022 that our listening, viewing audience can take part in?
Yeah, I think, James, a couple of points, and I'll try to be brief on this. One, the RAND Corporation, the renowned, you know, researchers of this country, just finished publishing a document known as Standards of Care, High Quality Care for Veteran Families. The principles associated with the standards of care are what Headstrong actually embraces every day, but we're going to use those standards as a means by which we excel and go beyond the standards that RAND calls for in the improvements of our of the quality associated with our clinical practice. If you listen or think of nothing else about Headstrong, it is first and foremost a mental health treatment practice. It's not a veteran service organization. It is a bona fide mental health treatment practice that practices evidence-based treatment for those who happen to serve their country and their family members. That's important to remember. But for us, there's a new North Star in the marketplace of mental health treatment. It's standards. And what we're using them for the remainder of the year is our aim point, our North Star for how we want to go beyond a set of standards that someone else published and use them for our own benefit to kind of guide the clinical practice. So point one, infusion of effort associated with improving the quality of care. Second point, further expansion and growth. Headstrong will open in the state of Florida, in Massachusetts, in Oregon, and Idaho by year's end. Those four additional states are part of our strategic effort to grow Headstrong's presence in a growing number of states in our country. And this year we'll see those four states where Headstrong will expand into them. But those two points are where I'd like to leave your audience is quality, growth, and expansion. That's where Headstrong is headed for the remainder of this year.
All this sounds exciting. Congratulations on the anniversary. Don't think I didn't hear that earlier. Congratulations to Headstrong as an organization for 10 years of providing this necessary service to the American public. With our last segment, it's our double time. Also on getheadstrong.org, you'll be able to locate a 9/11 series, which I thought was phenomenal. And I have a trend of going back in time in my DeLorean. So with the 9/11 series, what I think is remarkable about that is so many people are fixated on the war on terror, which one couldn't have happened without the other. But at the same time, just the sheer impact to our nation and the people that reside in it, whether it caused them to join the military or had other impacts, I think the 9/11 series is phenomenal. But to give people a taste of like this phenomenal series, I have a couple of names that I'm going to shoot your way. Yeah. If you can give me like 60 seconds, no more than a quick description of what they can look for in these individuals. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Dawn Mills.
Yeah. A loving mother, wife, who ultimately, whose husband lost the battle with what we're talking about. And you, when you look at her experience and the resilience within our military spouse community, James, you walk away with an understanding that what this is all about is so much more than the individual wearing our nation's cloth. And you and I know this from our days in the Army, but you know, you enlist a soldier, you retain a family. In Dawn's story, you see the remarkable struggle from a different perspective, the spouse and what was happening within the family unit as her late husband struggled with the demons in his life. And so I'd like to end the 60-second rapid fire note on Dawn by just saying a remarkable mother, a remarkable human being who was a loving wife and did everything she could possibly do to help her husband. But eventually the battle was lost and she recognized that. And her journey is now coming to terms with that and recognizing the rest of her life and the responsibilities there.
And we remain by Dawn and just thank her for everything that she's done for this country. And we will keep her in our thoughts. Keontae Story.
Yeah. What a remarkable guy. You know, to say that I didn't fall in love with these people would be an understatement. Chianti, a willingness to open up and serve as an example for others with a physical wound and the hidden wounds at the same time. His story is one of strength, I think. When you look at Chianti, you see a natural instinct to be strong in the face of adversity. And if you're not impressed by Chianti's journey, I don't know what's wrong with you. Like, you're just a remarkable human being, purposeful and driven in life to persevere. That's what I think you get from Chianti's story.
Just very quickly, and you, with your extended career in the military, I'm sure it's been thousands upon thousands of times you've been asked, why did you join the military? What brought you here? These stories in the 9/11 series are incredible for that fact. You get these answers to these questions that you've heard time and time again. Last, but definitely not least, Colleen Brady.
Yeah, Colleen is local to me. And so this is a story of a wonderful woman who embraced service to others. And along the path of doing that, herself became a victim to, you know, the underside, the underbelly of sometimes what happens in military service. And you look at a brilliant, shining light in Colleen with so much promise to continue serving others. And then along the way experiences trauma at the hand of those she's helping. And you have to take a step back and ask yourself, how can this be? And but yet what you don't see in Colleen is anger. What you see in Colleen is a reckoning with that and finding her rebalanced purpose in life. And I think common to Colleen, Chianti, Don, and Eric, who we didn't talk about, is the value of therapy and the role that Headstrong has played in their lives. But each of them in that 9/11 series, James, approaches trauma from a different angle. And that's what's so remarkable about this organization. Think about this. 3-4 different forms of trauma. One organization that can tailor itself to aligning itself with treating that particular trauma in that individual to help them get better. That's Headstrong. 4 different people, 4 walks of life, 1 common organization that helps them and help them deal with the situations in their life, and always will be the out organization to account for the individuality of those that touch us. So we're very proud of that series. It was produced on the 20th anniversary of 9/11. That's how we came up with it. James, it won 2 Webby Awards this year.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Yeah, best of the internet. Yeah. So we're very proud of what I want to leave you with. Headstrong tells its story through those it serves and the individuals who have the honor of serving them. Point blank, that's all we do. Their voices matter more than me or anyone else in this organization. It's them and their ability to tell their story, open up, that I think Headstrong really does embrace in terms of its organizational identity.
That brings us to the end of today's discussion. I will say that each and every single individual that is listening, that is viewing this, if you haven't already connected with Headstrong, please get headstrong.org, find a location near you, but understand the value in having a strong physical body is just as important as having a strong mental mind. So please connect with Headstrong to get that strong mental mind through their services. Jim McDonough, it's been an absolute pleasure. I'm so happy we had an opportunity to reconnect and speak about you and Headstrong and all the amazing work that's being done. So I just want to say thank you yet again.
James, it was good to see you once again. 2 years, 3 years is too long a time. We all recognize what it was about. But I'm really happy that we could connect over this platform. And honestly, my best to you for what you do and my deepest thanks for helping to elevate organizations and stories like ours. So I wish you the best. Look forward to seeing you soon. Thanks.
My pleasure. See you next time.
Thank you for listening to Compass Check with Amerivet Securities. I've been your host, James Fitzgerald. See you next time.